This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Recently gained popularity domestically. Drones are now being used by police and fire departments, scientific researchers, and in some cutting-edge newsrooms as an alternative to manned news helicopters. KBOO Community Radio, always eager to keep up with current trends, has jumped on board this new movement and purchased a drone. But KBOO's new drone isn't limited to gathering news tips. The MQ-1 Predator UAV, outfitted with Hellfire missiles, is designed to, if needed, launch defensive or preemptive strikes against the aircraft of competing media outlets. The Obama administration has courted controversy with the use of such UAVs in Afghanistan and Pakistan, with drone strikes often leading to civilian casualties. But the Portland news market, says KBOO Interim Evening News Director Rebecca Ney, is a whole different ballgame.
Sure, in light of our previous in-depth critical reportage on drone usage internationally and domestically, and our stance on the military-industrial complex in general, it may seem like a strange move. Hypocritical is a strong word, but we're determined to give community radio the edge over local media outlets at any cost, with little or no risk to our reporters, especially during our spring membership drive.
She went on to cite the colloquialism, "You can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs." Reports have surfaced that KGW has grounded its chopper and suspended its weather reportage altogether until further notice. At press time, KBOO's drone was spotted by several Southwest Portland residents staging a military drill in the airspace above the studios of OPB.
The Obama administration has billed itself as the most transparent administration ever, but has continued to refuse to release a legal memorandum outlining a rationale of why the president has the authority to order targeted assassinations. Chris Andre spoke with newly appointed CIA Director John Brennan this morning regarding the CIA's new transparency policy regarding its targeting killings.
John Brennan, thank you so much for being with us today. Can you speak a bit about... We know that the most nerve-wracking part of the NDAA's Tuesday list of individuals singled out for attack is not knowing when it's going to come. Can you speak a bit about this and the new transparency policy?
We have a way of dispatching enemy combatants, and it's not assassination, just to be clear. But we do have a problem with how people are notified, of course, that they're a target. And, you know, there's various rumors about various lists, but as part of our legal disclosure policies, we're now actually informing people by registered mail or whatever form of registration the mail has in the different target countries that we're operating in. Those who are targeted will actually get a certified letter that acknowledges that they're being targeted, so they know, they're aware of it, and they can in fact exercise the option to present themselves at a day and time in an appropriate place where it saves us some money, where it's easier to in fact service the target and turn that individual into smoking hall.
What sort of defense are you making available to these people? Are they, for example, allowed to bring a lawyer with them to the assassination?
Well, as I explained to you a moment ago, it's not an assassination. What we are doing is servicing a target. And if somebody is a target and they're serviced, they can bring whatever they like. And it doesn't really make a difference to them because they will, in fact, be what we colloquially call a smoking hole afterwards. So it's not... It doesn't matter. They can bring whatever they like.
I want to ask you, too, and things do, as we know, sometimes, rarely, but it happens, go wrong in the military. And if the person fails to expire in a timely fashion, how would they be dealt with subsequently? Suppose they lose most of their face and a couple of limbs.
Well, you know, it's unfortunate any time anyone loses a few limbs or a portion of their face. Their loved ones, of course, usually care deeply about such a thing. And of course, we regret any time when our targeting and a servicing of the target is only partially successful. However, you know, we have provisions for that, and we have ways of continuing to target the individual afterwards to ensure that there's a full, complete mission exercised upon them. And that also, I think, should be satisfying as well for the extended family, because they know that they won't have to then bear the burden of maintaining partially dismembered or disfigured enemy combatants, and you know the repercussions that go with that, because if they do in fact do that, they're materially aiding that enemy combatant, and they themselves be targeted. So we do have a plan for that. And if you need any of the legal documentation or justification for that, we will gladly send. We have a 2 million page document that's totally transparent, and you can read it. We'll send it to you. You can get it through a download to the website.
Mr. Brennan, thank you so much for that. I have one final question for you. Can you tell us a bit about the testing of the transparency, the targeted assassination transparency program?
Well, of course, everybody wants to know if their neighbor is a terrorist. You know, that's just a natural feeling that Americans have. I think that people should be proud to know that these kinds of technological innovations are being put to work in every community. So, in summary, I have to get back to poring over some legal documents. And right now, I'm on a satellite phone on Air Force Two. I'm here with Joe Biden, and we're traveling en route to Afghanistan. And I have very little time to continue speaking on this video program. NPR, I believe it is. I see. No, okay. My assistant here is waving their hands. It must be at CBS. KBOO. What is that?
We have a news outlet of Cascadia. John Brennan, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. And watch out. You know, look over your shoulder. Coming.
Special thanks to the Yes Men. That was KBOO's Chris Andre speaking with CIA Director John Brennan this morning regarding the CIA's new transparency policy regarding targeting killings.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening, and now we are asking you to join us. Joining us now are Dan and Sam to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Sam, I have to tell you that I was just handed this note by the KBOO duty nurse, and she indicated to me that no KBOO news reporter was injured in the production of this newscast. So, folks, you can breathe easy that all of our news reporters are safe and sane. And if this doesn't inspire you to want to become a part of the great KBOO community, then I don't know what it's going to take. That means that it's up to you. Pick up the phone right now, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm. You're going to find that every news story in this hour is packed with powerful information that you're going to want to save and tell your grandchildren about. Sam, why don't you jump in there?
Okay, I'm hearing, I've just in, Lightning Sacred Ground
a wire machine.
Has come together for a collective membership, brand new. Thank you so much to Lightning's Sacred Ground. We want to thank you for your brand new membership. I want to thank the renewing members for renewing their membership for yet another year of hard-hitting news and a little lighthearted fun, poking some fun at the newsmakers. And that's what KABU is. KABU is hard-hitting and incisive and lighthearted and a little scathing and bitingly fun as well. You want to be a part of that, I know. That's why you tune in. And the way you become a part is you call 877-500-5266. That is why you log on to KABU's website, kboo.fm, and you check out all the wonderful programs, all the news and information, all the arts and culture, all the music and other entertainment. That's what KABU provides for you day in, day out, every month of every year. Won't you provide something for KABU for the next year? 877-500-5266. We're about to go back to a little more of what we're asking you to support. In the meantime, you call 877-500-5266. You get it done, you get it out of the way, and you can focus on just what it is you tuned in to hear. KBOO.FM. However you do it now.
And you know, we only come to you twice a year, and that's when we ask you to make a decision about what you're going to do as a member, as a participant, as a part of the great KABU community. So we're saying do it right now. Pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266.
In an astonishing and unconventional move, a local preacher has written a book. Jim Rainier, a self-described climate skeptic, devout Christian, and all-around Good Samaritan, has written a book called Tears of Our Lord. For more on this book, KABU's Christian beat reporter Bob Dirkland spoke with Jim Rainier earlier today.
In case you're just joining us, that book is The Tears of Our Lord, one man's story of a Christian man's ascent into Christian manhood. Tell us a little bit about it, Jim.
Well, Bob, I was a weak child, you know, and my father, he was a bit of a and there's just a time that a modern man needs to decide to be a man. And it's a difficult world for a fighting white man.
If there's one message you could get out there to the youth, something to let them know that the word of the Lord is 100 times sweeter than the drugs, what would that message be, Jim?
Well, it would be to let you know that when you see a sunrise, a beautiful sunrise, that's given to you by the Lord. Now, a lot of people tell you that the climate is something that you can predict, that you can talk about, and something that they explain that the reason why the dinosaurs died out is because something happened in the cycle of time, and they ignore the fact that the Lord did that. It was not just a product of eternal recurrence. It was the Lord did that. And the dinosaurs were punished for their trespasses. They were like people, they were like man, but they were lizards, and they were punished for their trespasses. And that's what I would tell them, and that cocaine is not better than the work of the Lord. To his touch.
Well, Jim, that's all the time we have for now.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you having me on your show.
Okay.
That was KABU's Christian beat reporter Bob Dirkland speaking with preacher and author Jim Rainier about his new book called The Tears of Our Lord.
Portland City Council unanimously approved an amendment to the Portland Bureau of Transportation's fee schedule, which will result in a new fee for non-car drivers. The proposed plan will create several greenway tollways along Portland's most active arts and entertainment districts. Cyclists and pedestrians will have to pay a toll to pass through toll gates. TriMet will create premium fares for rides along the selected streets. Portland Mayor Charlie Hales defended his support of this unorthodox approach.
I'll support this amendment. I think this was a good discussion. It's not unprecedented for the city to subsidize certain types of fee structures in order to get, in order to encourage the behavior we want. Mm-hmm. Whether we're talking about traffic fees or building permit fees, and in order to carry out some public purpose. And I think there are a couple of public purposes here.
This comes in the wake of several controversial apartment projects which were approved for construction despite not including parking for residents. Neighbors were concerned that by discouraging driving, foot traffic would get out of control. They also had no interest in attracting more Portland bikes and the, quote, style of person that comes on those bikes. Another resident complains that public transit brings nothing but trouble and can't imagine how gas-guzzling buses can be good for the environment. He says he's glad to see pedestrians finally pay their fair share.
Today, Walmart released an official statement announcing its intentions to unionize. The unexpected move comes on the heels of an internal report which shows worker satisfaction with the retail giant is at an all-time high. Mike Duke, Walmart's CEO, said the report was, quote, disturbing, citing a concern that high worker morale poses a great risk to society. According to the new report, workers were allegedly comfortable with low wages and a reliance on government benefits. Under the direction of Duke, Walmart is forcing over 2 million workers to join the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. The Walmart CEO, who reportedly made $23 million last year, laughed when asked if he was willing to take a pay cut in order to cover the cost of higher wages and benefits. Duke says the company will simply raise prices. Quote, we may have to rethink our slogan. For more on this story, KBOO's Rebecca Ney spoke with local labor activist Jamie Partridge.
Jamie, what is your reaction to this breaking news today that Walmart is unionizing?
Well, I think it's just, it's really sad. I mean, how is it that we as consumers are going to be able to keep the kind of low prices that have endeared Walmart to us for so long? I'm certainly unionizing. That means that the workers will want higher wages. They're going to want to have regular hours. I mean, how we're going to keep the greeters at the door? How is Walmart going to be able to afford them? I mean, it's sad. That's all I can say. It's just sad.
As a reporter, I'm supposed to be objective, but I have to state that this is really, truly a tragedy in the most epic proportions. One of the things I was reading today, a concern, actually, there are actually some workers that are protesting this action because they're really worried that they're going to lose their government benefits.
I hope they do. I hope they do. And I know that as a shopper, I will be out there protesting along with them. I would just hate to see them force the company to provide health care, pension, vacations. I mean, that kind of thing is, that's so 20th century, if you know what I mean.
Well, many of them are so used to working long hours that the change is coming as a shock, according to many company officials who have basically said they don't care. They're forcing this change on their workers because of their newfound love for unions.
Oh, well, I guess you would have to expect that. But those folks inside the Beltway, you know, talking to each other, these union bosses and the corporate bosses, and they've just fallen in love with each other. And you know what's going to happen? I mean, Walmart is going to have to end up moving overseas. I mean, that's what happens to every company that unionizes. They move overseas.
How do you think this will impact the tax structure at Walmart?
Oh, you mean the poor workers? Oh, this is ridiculous. I will definitely be out there on the protest line. I mean, folks are going to end up paying higher and higher and higher taxes. This is sad because it means that so many of our schools that are now underfunded and our other public services are going to be flush with money. I don't know. I don't know how we can live with that.
I've been speaking with KBOO labor consultant Jamie Partridge, who is with the think tank Yes We Can. This is Rebecca Ney with KBOO News.
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news, and now we'd like to tell you about how you can get involved, too. Joining us now are Dan and Sam to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
My name is Sam. I'm joined by Dan, and we are here to remind you of just how you become a part of this ongoing experiment in hard-hitting news and some rather biting satire as well. You call 877-500-5266. Wouldn't it be great if we heard some news headlines like, Walmart workers are unionizing and will be paying taxes because they're actually earning enough to have a tax liability. Wouldn't it be great if we heard from you right now? 877-500-5266. Tell our website, kboo.fm, how much you want to chip in to keep this experiment running.
And to carry that in-depth thought process a little bit further, how would you like to have your own drone? KBOO has its own drone, so, you know, it's something that could be widespread. Everybody would have their own drone. Well, if you like that idea, then you can become a member of KBOO as well. Pick up the phone right now. We're having a little fun this evening. 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm. And Sam is searching that sheet now. Drones? Drones? I didn't know anything about drones. You know what? It's all part of our in-depth, as I say, in-depth and unbiased, fair and balanced news reporting, and you can hear it only here on KBOO. 45 years of that, my friends.
And just for today, there are some local vendors, some of your friends and neighbors, the local businesses who keep your dollars circulating through the community, contributing to the vibrancy of the Portland metro area, and contributing to the sustenance for our volunteers who take your call at 500-5266. I'm talking about Katie O'Brien's at 2809 Northeast Sandy Boulevard, Pasta Works at 3735 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, and Namaste at 8303 Northeast Sandy Boulevard. These are some of your friends and neighbors who have gotten involved in KBOO in a way that made sense for them. We want to know what makes sense for you. What kind and of involvement and at what level makes sense for you? You tell the volunteers who have gotten involved in the way that makes sense for them. When you call 877-500-5266, tell them the amount of your radio bill and how you'd like to pay it. What do I mean by that? I mean that this is a service that you consume daily, weekly, monthly, whatever. And just like any other service, it costs money to provide it. And we would thank you for, I won't say we expect you to, but we would greatly and deeply appreciate your contribution. 877-500-5266. I'm not going to ask you to put a price on this because you cannot. You value it too deeply and too fundamentally to put dollar signs on it. But you can decide what amount of dollars you're going to contribute to make sure that it's still available year in and year out to you and to your community.
83% of our funds comes directly from individuals, and that means people just like you. 17%, it comes from other sources, grants and whatever other donations or sources might be available over and above individual giving. And, you know, one of the easiest ways of providing a gift to KBOO is through automatic monthly donation. It's the most popular way that KBOO donors contribute, accounting for 43% of all membership dollars last year. So there is a budget that will fit absolutely every listener, and there is a dollar figure that you might be able to handle. You know, one of the things that we've talked about is the possibility that if you make $10 an hour, if you provided KBOO with $10 a month from what you make every month, that would be great in stepping up towards meeting our annual budget. What a way for that to happen. We'd like for the phones to ring. We'd like your input, your contribution, your action. Pick up the phone, 877-500-5266.
We have set ourselves a rather modest goal for this hour. We're We're closing in on it. We're trying to raise $250 by 6 o'clock, and we can do that with your support. Many hands make light lifting. Every dollar we don't raise this hour, we have to make up later on. So now is the time to make your contribution. Now is the time to pitch in, to add your pennies, nickels, and dimes to the pot. We will marry the monies of many into one large menage, if you will, mélange. 877-500-5266. We're going to go back shortly to this particular, shall I say, peculiar edition of the KBOO volunteer.
Peculiar?
Yes, volunteer-produced evening news. So now's the time, 877-500-5266, and the one to do it is you.
Due to high numbers of Portland residents excessively shaking their kombucha bottles, a kombucha eruption occurred in southeast Portland early this morning. The slick of oozing kombucha, which has engulfed southeast Portland, has issued a statement. The miles-wide slick communicated with reporters this morning via a telepathic link from its multifarious hive mind, saying that it could only be sated by feeding it all the city's Priuses, green dish detergent, and yoga mats. It gurgled, "I feed off of your self-satisfaction. Bow before me." The kombucha has said that it will consume all of Portland unless 20,000 Portlanders smilingly explain to it how Barack Obama could kill people with robots and still be a beloved leader of progressives. It will do so by unleashing all manner of antioxidants and enzymes until the city erodes into nothing. Portlanders have been largely indifferent to the extinction of inner southeast Portland, rediscovering their love of shuffleboard, drunkenness, car dealerships, and things made of wood.
The onset of spring has brought crowds of Portlanders out for open-air luncheons in many of the city's parks. But this romantic activity has taken a dark turn. Thefts of food from picnic baskets is on the rise, and police think they may know the culprit. According to one eyewitness, Portland picnickers have been incensed. He says, quote, "One minute we're gazing at passing clouds, sipping our kombucha, and the next minute our lunch has disappeared with some unknown assailant making off with our entire picnic basket." "We just wanted to picnic," said Southeast Portland resident Stuart Crow, "but someone stole our picnic basket." Following extensive public pressure, Portland police have apprehended a suspect, a brown bear who they claim wears a fedora, collared shirt and tie, and talks like Art Carney from The Honeymooners. The public has dismissed the theory, however, as ridiculous. Police also add that the bear they are seeking is cagey and intelligent, saying he was, quote, "smarter than the average bear." A recent press release urges Portlanders to also be on the lookout for his alleged accomplice, a smaller bear cub donning a pink bow tie. These recent disturbances to local picnics have caused many Portlanders to simply throw up their hands and return to indoor activities. In response, one local said, quote, "all that fresh air and sunshine felt weird on our skin anyway."
The communal farm of starch environmental defender The Lorax has been raided by state police, uncovering a plot that involved what they called eco-terrorism. The stout furry creature, which came to fame by repeatedly badgering a powerful industrialist as he decimated populations of truffula trees and barbara roots in the 1970s, was reportedly stockpiling weapons and belonged to a shadowy organization known as the Earth Liberation Front. Federal authorities have said that the Lorax was also in possession of vegan cook boots, dark clothing, and ran a free love colony where casual sex and drug use were common. Federal prosecutor Jenny Turkan, who announced the indictment of the Lorax on numerous terrorism charges, said, "I find it comical that the so-called do-gooder believes that stopping the production of thinnies, which as we know are something that all people need, is a lawful activity." Turkan continued, "He is a terrorist." Lawyers for the Lorax did not respond, as the Lorax is a fictitious creature and Turkan is insane. Turkan, with bags under her eyes, then waved her arms wildly around an empty press room, making accusations, convening grand juries, and ranting that Captain Hook will be brought to justice for piracy.
At a news conference today, Portland Police Chief Mike Reese blushed and stammered when asked a question about the city auditor's plan to end the department's mounted patrol. Abruptly stopping the reporter who asked the question when he mentioned the patrol, Reese quickly sipped water and tapped his foot while he fought for an answer. Reese then blurted something out about personal time. To say that Reese has so far been a staunch supporter of the patrols would be an understatement. The chief has numerous wall calendars featuring horses in his office, along with porcelain statuettes, and has been known to frequently draw pictures with crayons depicting himself as a centaur, a half-man, half-horse creature. Indeed, every time the chief sees a horse, he's been reported to excitedly gasp and swoon. Mounted Patrol Captain Sandra Dern said that Chief Reese's presence at the stables is often a distraction, and that he makes frequent requests to, quote, privately train the horses. Police spokesperson Pete Simpson has said that Chief Reese is a horse enthusiast in much the same way that Captain Mark Kruger is a Third Reich enthusiast, and that the chief's personal proclivities have never been a distraction from his job. Except when he interacts with police horses, in which case Simpson said the chief becomes, quote, visibly distracted. He then winked and clicked his tongue.
You were listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the Cable Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KABU membership or become a member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for Labor Radio, discussions on working class issues at 6, followed by Prison Pipeline at 6:30, connecting with the community inside. At 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tomorrow's weather is expected to be cloudy, with highs near 64 degrees and lows at 45.
It's 5:34, time for daily commentary from Jim Hightower.
Some consider it un-American to like anything about toilet paper or tend to pee on the poor. You might wonder, is that a lot? This nefarious practice, known as nature's own beauty, it's beautiful. The way we communicate can be a real problem. The mild-mannered, pacifist-minded neonicotinoids, imperiously imposing a gag order on their own citizens. But all it says is, no food. New York imposed a moratorium on the inherently dangerous process. The way we communicate can be a real problem. Then, an Indiana legislator made a run, but he was tripped up when Democrats passed an amendment. It lets corporations treat the masses of people in today's workforce like a hog. Not a little piggy, but a hog, a really big one. Noting with a